Welcome to the WAVE podcast. Women living with HIV, advocates, voices, empowered. The WAVE is a series of podcasts by and for women living with HIV around the world, talking about our sexual and reproductive health and rights.
Hello and welcome to The Wave. My name is Fiona Hale. In the last episode, we heard from Longret Quadem of the UK. Longret is co-director of 4M Mentor Mothers Network, a peer-led organisation providing perinatal peer support to women living with HIV. In this episode, we continue the conversation with Longret, talking about 4M's experience of women living with HIV as equal partners in research. Longret, hi.
Yeah, hi, Fiona.
In the last episode, you talked about the issues facing women living with HIV perinatally. Could you talk a bit about how you make sure these issues are informing research about women and HIV more broadly?
Yes. So I lead the peer research work. We collaborate on research with universities and we present our results through posters and oral presentations. And we've also produced an advocacy brief with the women themselves about what it is that their priorities are. And also I'm the lead evaluator for the project team, which then ensures that the issues that are of priority to the 4MNet members are being evaluated throughout the programme.
And do women's issues get taken up by researchers?
There's so little research being carried out on women. And I think it's also important that researchers step up and work with us to research into the issues that are specifically affecting women. We're kind of ready to work alongside others. And I don't think excuses are enough. I think it's possible and it can be done if people are committed to do it.
So Longret, how does 4M support the meaningful involvement of women living with HIV, as well as providing the kind of perinatal peer support that you talked about last time?
It's just providing that opportunity for women to be able to build their confidence. So if women want to facilitate, when we're having workshops, they do the facilitation as well.
What do you think women get out of that, Longret?
It's an opportunity for you to be yourself, but also to develop your skills and get involved to be able to then look after yourself, but also the opportunity to be able to look after others. We do some peer research as well. We provide that opportunity for people if they would like to choose to be involved with that peer research. We also influence policy. Sometimes it's easier for people to be involved if they're part of a community rather than if they're on their own. They have a voice, but they have a voice in a safe environment. So then you're still able to contribute until you get to the point where you feel you can go and do it on your own. But it just means that you still have your voice heard.
And what difference do you think that makes?
When organisations need members of the steering group, they would approach us and say that they need someone to be a member of the steering group. And then we would offer that to the women. And sometimes we find that some of the women sign up to that. And what that means is that they're influencing how research is being carried out in those areas. The UK CAB is the community of activists in the UK, and it's just a collection of people living HIV across the UK. So we have members in that as well, and we have members in SWIFT, which is a research network of women interested in research around women. So we have 4MNet members as well as part of that steering group. So apart from influencing policy, we also steer organisations and research networks.
The World Health Organization Consolidated Guideline on Sexual and Reproductive Health and Rights of Women Living with HIV that came out in 2017 and that had a lot of involvement from women living with HIV in formulating those guidelines. One of the things that guideline says is that women living with HIV should be equal partners in research. It's very strong on promoting the meaningful involvement of women living with HIV in decisions around their care and their lives and policies that affect their lives. I mean, how important do you think all of that is?
Peer research is very important, but it's also important that whoever is conducting a research creates the opportunity and the resources to be able to support people to be able to get involved. And I think the thing is, sometimes it's easier to be involved when you're part of a group. And that's why we have the network, the 4M network as well. Because the tendency is if you approach someone on their own, they might find it a bit daunting to be part of a system. But if you invite them as a group, because they're already used to that group and they build that trusting relationship and feel part of community, then it's easier for them to be able to get involved. And that's why it's important that we carry on doing the work that we do, because that's how we sort of support these ladies to feel empowered enough to then be able to get involved with research. So sustainable women-only spaces are really important for that as well, for enabling peer research. And I think through the work that we do, that is part of what we provide for women.
Could you explain a bit more about how you see peer research and how you understand it?
Peer research is research that is led by the people, for the people. So it is research that would be initiated and then conducted and published by people with lived experience of the research. And so in that effect, it means that it is based on the priorities of the people for whom the research is meant for. So it means that it would then be relevant to people's needs and desires and their wants. It will be based on the realities of our lives and our lived experiences, which is what it should be. Peer research is very important because that's the only way that research is relevant. And I think there should be opportunities for peer involvement and empowerment. We provide a space to be able to get involved in things like that, because it needs you to be able to build the skills and the confidence. And through the webinars that we do and through the support that we provide, we're able to give people opportunities to do that. I think it's also important that when you say that people should get involved in research, that people have got opportunities as well to be supported to be able to do that. Because as much as we have our lived experiences, research is a systematic form of collecting evidence. And so when people are happy to give their experiences, we need to support them with whatever, whether it's practical support in terms of paying them for their time, in terms of transportation, in terms of childcare. People would then have to take time off work, and it still goes back to this volunteering business, because people are happy to volunteer, but it's not sustainable. You can only volunteer so much.
Something I'm really curious about is when women's organisations and women's groups are involved in research that might be led by academics or professional researchers, whether the women's groups get listed as co-authors, because their role in the research is really important, right? The research couldn't happen without them in lots of cases. Have you had experience of that where 4MNet or another group you've been involved in has been a named co-author of research?
Yes, that's why it's important that communities and organisations are peer-led. 4MNet is a community-based organisation. We are Women Living with HIV and we lead the organisation. When we invite people to work with us, they're working with us. So most of the work that we do and a lot of the researches that we've carried out in collaboration with a couple of universities, what we did was we worked in proper collaboration. What that means is that we would agree how we want to work, and then we would agree what the priorities are for us. We evaluated first year training of the 4M pregnancy and beyond workshop. So actually I did that with a lady from the London School of Hygiene. We actually did the whole work together. So we set out the terms of reference and we set out who was going to do what and what the objectives were. And we all agreed and we were happy with it and we sort of led it. And then we assessed and analysed together. And so when we finished, we did the abstract and presented it at Beaver. And so we were all listed as co-authors on there. And actually, I went and did the presentation in Beaver, and we actually won an award for that because of the way that the research was carried out.
Do you think that people are clear about what research that meaningfully involves people is and what peer research is?
What I found is that it's either you get people who actually don't understand what peer research is, because people think that if you, for example, get someone to complete a form, you've involved them. Peer-led research means that it's the person who is actually leading on the work and directing the work and saying these are the things that we would like to learn about, and then being as involved as they would like to be, but making sure that the objectives of the work are actually coming from them. If someone else is collaborating, it's helping us achieve what our objectives are and working together with us. And so I think in that respect, I would say that 4M has been good doing that, because we happen to have a team that knows how peer research should work And so when we do our research, we ensure that that happens. But I think it's important that if people don't know how to do peer research, that they're able to go. And that's why we come in, like people like ForumNet. You come to us and say, this is what we would like to do. And so we would sort of support you with what you need to be able to do that.
That's a brilliant model. You're actually deciding what the research questions and the research areas should be and how the research should be conducted. And you're collaborating with researchers who will work with you on that rather than you providing people who can be
exactly
that horrible term, research subjects.
Exactly.
So you're working really high up in that tree of participation or that ladder of participation that has at the bottom the tokenistic kind of participation that you mentioned when people are just asked to fill in a form or a questionnaire. But you're working right at the top where you're working on framing all of the questions together and how to get the research answers that you're looking for together. And you're leading that, and you're also a full co-author of the research because it's your research.
Exactly. Yeah. And then we're presenting the results as well. And the idea is that if there's any published papers that will come out of that, then we will still do it together with them and be co-authors on that as well.
It's so interesting, Longret, to hear you talking about that, because I'm sure that's not the experience that lots of people have had of being involved in research as a woman living with HIV.
I think a lot of people don't even realize that they don't know what that means, because then they come to you. So they already have all the objectives and everything that they want to do, and then they want you to join them. Most of the time when we get that, then we would say, well, actually, these are the things that we would like to do. So I think there's a lot of learning for people in terms of understanding what peer research is. And we actually did get someone who came to us and said, can you teach us how to do peer research? We would like to learn. So I think that's really good as well, that people can acknowledge that they need some additional information and they know where to go. And that's why it's important that funders are able to fund us to be able to have this space that we get the support that we do. And if we haven't got the funding to sustain that, then we won't be able to do the work that we do. And it just means that then we won't be able to support people to learn as well from us.
Thank you so much, Longret. Do you have any final words before we finish?
I think for me, it would just be in terms of research and self-management. I would say it's really important to be like an active participant in your own care. Engage with the system in any way that feels comfortable for you, no matter how small, because at the end of the day, we can choose to be providers of evidence through our lived experiences, you know, and involve ourselves in activities so that we make sure that our lived realities are reflected in the services that are provided for us and services that would help us to live well as women living with HIV. Organizations that are inviting people to be involved also provide the support and the resources that they need to be able to do that. I think that it's important to have recruitment and remuneration strategies. And I think in terms of research, it's important that, you know, when you look at the history of research, women have been excluded. There's still a lot we don't know about women. At the moment, there's slight improvements, but it's not changing fast enough. And that means that it's having an effect on our quality of life, which then affects our ability to achieve our human rights.
Longret, thank you so much. It's been brilliant speaking to you.
Thank you very much as well for having me.
This podcast is produced by the Salamander Trust with support from UNAIDS. If you'd like to know more about the issues, please go to the Salamander Trust website, www.salamandertrust.net. Thank you for listening.